conspiracies, the curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and Rupert's lore. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. Long man fightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the lethal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Mystical opening in the shack. It's very mystical in here today.
You know? I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur. And there's just a frequency, a buzz in the air. You know, it's a good thing, a good frequency. You know, that
18 hertz.
Things are changing. Well, no, not that. Not that. That's a bad frequency. That's
161 decibels.
And that's too loud. It's very loud. That's too loud. That'll hurt you.
And what frequency?
It's some magic.
I gave you a frequency.
I don't know what the frequency is. I can just sense it in the air.
Was it 421 hertz?
It might have been close to that. I don't know, though. 432 is what you're...
Is that the one people... I liked it.
What?
When we played it before.
We did?
Yeah, we pulled it up on YouTube just as...
Okay, well, anyways, things are changing in the air. You know, the world's changing. You know, and I think it's going to be changing for good. It's not changing for bad, but it takes us individuals to make changes that are for good.
Beat your local politician.
That's one thing. That's one thing you can do. Well, it depends how local and how big your town is. I don't eat the mayor. Our mayor's fine. And I don't want to eat him. I might get drunk.
Like, I was going to say rum ham. I've been watching a lot of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and that's been a...
Rum ham?
Yeah,
because... I like our mayor. We got a good mayor.
They go places where they can't drink.
Ah.
So Danny just... Frank...
Soaks
a ham in rum, and you get drunk eating this ham.
That's one way to do it.
That's why the little Danny DeVito in the shack has a rum ham in his hands.
Hammy DeVito.
No, that's that Hammy DeVito. That up there stuffed Frank Reynolds... It's holding a rum ham.
Yeah, he's the Hammy DeVito. This guy over here is was something else. I can't remember now.
Danny DeSquanko.
Danny DeSquanko. But that squonk, that's a cryptid. This ain't showing about cryptid. This is a conspiracy shack with Daniel and Wilbur back in the shack. And in the shack, that's where the secrets are told. The truth is let out. And the realness is afoot here in the shack.
Okay.
So it's time to let your inner shack out. The shack is a metaphor. It's a place and a metaphor. You know, we're in the shack spouting out truth, projecting it to the world. And, you know, everyone's got a shack in their heart that you got to open up and project to the world. So
everyone's got a shack in their heart.
Yep. You got to find the keys to the shack in your heart. Unlock it and let it open. Venture around inside in there. See what you find. See what you come out with. I promise you it's only going to be good things at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah?
Speaking of good things, what are we talking about today?
Well, you picked a topic.
Well, it's about like, huh? I don't think I picked it.
Yeah.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
I actually did, or?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I was like, maybe I did in past conversations. But I know we're going to be talking about some gardening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's good about gardening is you can feed yourself. You can feed yourself with your own food. You know what you're putting into it. You know what you're watering it with. You know what you're fertilizing it with. You grow it yourself. Just don't put any junk and chemicals in it. No Roundup. No glyphosate. It's the devil juice. You don't need that. It's bad. Bad. No chemicals. Chemical free. Sun.
I can tell you how to make your own fertilizer.
Let's do that. Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
All right.
We'll talk about composting. Today we're going to talk about homesteading, planting guides, specifically with an aim towards urban homesteading.
Ah.
So smaller yards, smaller things. Because if you live out in the country, it's a little easier.
Yeah, you got space.
Like if you have acres, you know, my garden that fed our family out in the when we lived in the country was like 80 by 40, and it literally produced so much food, we couldn't eat it all. We
right,
gave
yeah.
most of it away.
Which is great, yeah.
Until I started growing competitive pumpkins, which took over half of it.
Dang. Yeah, and pumpkins.
It was, it was one pumpkin plant.
Pumpkins take over. Those vines are just go.
Well, I also had Dale's Atlantic Giants, which are the biggest pumpkins you in the get, world.
I like the sugar. I think they're sugar plum or something pumpkins. They're little.
I specifically was growing pumpkins.
To for size.
Because I would only grow one pumpkin.
Right. You were going for big, girthy pumpkins.
190-something pounds was my biggest ever.
Dang. That's freaking big.
Well, the world record where the seed came out of was like 18 or 1900.
Gosh, dang.
So 10 times bigger.
Yeah.
And I had to pick it, I had to grow it on a pallet to be able to pick it up.
Right, with a forklift. That's a big boy.
Yeah, so let's talk about homesteading. What do you know about planting?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Wilbur. You dig a hole, you put the plants in it, and you cover her up. Done.
Sure.
No, it's a little more complicated than that. I mean,
it doesn't have to be. It depends on what you want to do.
Yeah, it depends on what you're planting and how deep the seeds need to be planted or sowed. Or if you're just
If you're new, I would not start with seeds.
Okay, fair. Okay, we're going plants. Maybe you bought from your local greenhouse.
Yeah.
You go to your local Mennonite or Amish greenhouse, preferably. Because they're not
Shout out Amherst.
Yes, Amherst. And, hold on. It starts with the V. Starts with the V. It's between here and Kenton.
Other side of Kenton, but yeah.
I'll think of it. Yeah, I'll think of it. But shout out to them, too. Good Mennonite home. Led or owned
good words.
Greenhouse. Oh, it's in their stuff, huh?
Good words.
Yeah, I know, right? A Mennonite owned greenhouse. That is fantastic. And I have it actually saved here in my maps. Lavena's greenhouse.
That's an L, not a V, just so you know.
Yeah, it had a V in it.
It did.
Yeah, that's where I was confused. I knew it was in there, though.
I knew
it was I guess in it there. Depends how you want to, like, spell the word. It could start with a V. You know, if it was...
Yeah, if you put a silent V in the front of it, yeah.
If it was that guy from that show, those guys that produced our show, what's he call himself?
Whatever.
I don't remember, but he would probably spell it with a V, don't you think?
In the word, not at the beginning.
He might. You never know. You never know. You turn an L just right, it can look like a V.
Yeah, if you rip the paper up and turn it around and slap it on the butt.
Or how you're standing, you know. All right, moving on.
That was actual dead air for everybody.
Oh, that's funny. All right.
Sitting here staring.
All right, moving on. Planting.
So, yeah, we're going to get into a planting guide because a lot of people at home do not realize that certain plants enjoy each other's company and certain plants do not get along.
That would be called companion plants.
Yeah.
Yes.
The Three Sisters is probably the most famous one.
Right. The Three Sisters is a Native American process where they grow corn first, plant the corn. Once corn gets up on stalks, get some height on it a little bit. Do you do the beans next or is it the...
I don't know. I don't know how the Three Sisters work. I had always had a neighbor that did the Three Sisters.
Yeah. Either way, the Three Sisters are corn, squash, and beans.
Yeah.
Because the corn are the provide the stalks, which provide the structure for the beans.
And the squash.
And then the squash will take up the ground space below, filling in basically all the gaps between the corn.
I don't know. You may plant them all at the same time.
I think what I was reading you do, it's a process.
It probably is. I don't, yeah.
Because I think you start with the corn, or else they'll smother each other right off the rip, because they grow different. But you guys, I do know it's corn first, and beans last, so it's corn, squash, then beans. from what I my memory.
Yeah. First thing we're just going to bring up is, you know, when you have vegetables or fruit or whatever you do in your garden, because I literally live in a food forest now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the town has realized that yet, but by the time they do, it'll be too late.
Yes.
I just planted two persimmons. I'm planting like eight more pawpaws.
Yes.
Huckleberries.
I want to pretend like I'm over your shoulder hovering like, yes.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Plant more. I know, but it's fun for me.
So a thing to think about is how are you going to eat the vegetables you want to grow? Because tomatoes and stuff like that are enjoyed fresh out of the garden.
Yeah.
But they don't keep very long.
No.
So if you want to preserve them, you know, you got to think about that. If you want tomatoes throughout the year, like tomato sauces and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you got to think about what you're going to do for that. Otherwise, you're just eating, which is perfectly fine. If you just want to just walk into the garden and grab a tomato and eat a tomato.
Right, yeah.
But if you want to have that tomato in January or April, you know, you got to think about that. So the six common ways are freezing, refrigerating, dehydrating, fermenting, canning, and pickling.
Oh, and one other newer option, freeze drying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can afford a freeze dryer.
Right, yeah.
Like a dehydrator is $200 and a freeze dryer is $4,000.
You can actually, I've seen some recently online. People are selling theirs.
For what, $1,500, $1,000?
Yeah. $15,000, yeah, which is $2,000, I've seen, like, the most for a use so far.
Yeah. So you can if you want. If you're going to do a lot of stuff, that may be a route to look into. A dehydrator. I have the Amazon special, like, 8-rack dehydrator. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. It works fine.
Yeah.
From
the TV show Good Eats, Alton Brown showed you how to make a dehydrator that uses no heat from simple, like, going to the hardware store. Like box, which it just involves box fans and furnace filters.
Smoking it, you can do too, which is not on this little list I have in front of me, but there are ways to preserve stuff by smoking.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But what he did with that, all he did was put furnace filters, like the ones that are, that don't, obviously, you don't, I want fibers.
Full of arsenic?
Yeah. Obviously not those ones. Ones that would be safe to at least touch food on.
Yeah. Sure.
He stacked them up, but put the food in between each filter, stacked them up and bunged them to a front of a box fan. And that's
it. Just pulled air through.
And then just sat that in the window and just blew it outside. But he did that for beef jerky specifically.
Yeah. My grandma used to do sun-dried tomatoes.
Like that?
Kinda.
Or similar like that?
She had a thing in the window.
Yeah.
And literally, I think it was a sock drying rack.
Yeah.
Or something like that she got at the store and used it to make sun-dried tomatoes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she would just, in the morning, it'd be on that side of the house, and in the evening, it'd be on that side of the house.
Nice.
So that's the only thing you had to do is move it from one side to the other.
Follow the sun.
Yeah. Because you didn't want to put it outside because of squirrels.
Right.
Not that it wouldn't be safe outside. They do that with when they're air-drying fish as well in some of the Scandinavian countries. Mm. But you have to take it in at night.
Oh, yeah.
So it's some of these...
Bears.
Huh?
Bears.
No, just... Then moisture, it'll reabsorb moisture.
Oh.
So you just don't go, you don't accomplish anything.
True, yeah. You're spinning your wheels, huh?
Yeah. So those are things to think about. We have an episode on canning. Chopping up into freezing is perfectly acceptable.
Yep.
Some produce will have a little bit slight different flavor. I personally like freezed corn better than I like prepared canned corn like we do.
Oh, yeah.
But it's each thing's different, each, you know, and however you want to do it. If you're new to it and you don't want to mess with canning, freezing is, you can freeze everything.
Mm-hmm.
I have tomatoes frozen from 2 years ago that are still good.
I was just going to say, all from last year, I have two big gallon bags left still of my little yellow tomatoes and red ones. The little guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to make sauce, I highly recommend San Marzano tomatoes. You're welcome.
Not Beefmaster?
No. Sauce, specifically, San Marzano. If you can pick them right off the vine and eat them, and when you take a bite of just a fresh one, tastes like you're eating sauce. Those are the tomatoes they use to make sauces, like pizza sauce. San Marzano. Now, letting everyone know out there, that's a little secret. Only for you Shaq listeners out there, you get that information.
So, gardening for beginners, you can do anything from the cheapo greenhouses, raised beds, a classic garden bed. If you just want to, you know, rototill a little part of your garden, start there.
Yeah.
The thing with urban stuff is you probably will have to add stuff to your soil.
Mm-hmm.
Because grass just drains soil. It's super hard on soil.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess most of you people listening to this, if you're going to try urban homesteading this year, an urban gardening, like big garden, not just having a tomato plant in a pot or whatever, mm-hmm. but actual like a food garden, you're going to see a lot of gray soil. So you have options, you know, just do your research before you buy any product. Like Wilbur's always talking about, you know, stay away from like the glyphosates and any of that kind of stuff, right. the weed killers.
Yeah.
What I suggest doing is you rototill your area, and then I'm doing this tonight, the planter's tarps.
Yeah.
And just put planter's tarp down, and you just, so well, you don't have to weed.
And
so what that is, everybody, it's a fiber, or it's a cloth.
Fabric.
Yeah, fabric. Holds in moisture, and keeps invasive plants from getting in your garden space.
Correct.
But you just cut a little hole in where you're going to put your tomato or pepper or whatever you're going to put in.
Keeps the weeds from popping up.
Yeah.
A weed barrier.
Yeah. At least for the most part, a couple will still, you know, mm-hmm. dandelions and some grass, you know, the top, like the really hardcore guys will still, but you don't have to weed nearly as much.
Right. Yeah.
It takes it down dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the space you want to do. And then we'll talk about the plants at the end, the actual types of plant you want to do and stuff like that. But when you start picking and choosing what you want to do, you got to think about space requirements, neighbors, harvest times, that kind of stuff. So corn, for example, has wild, depending on which variety of corn, there's 95-day corn and there's 125-day corn,
mm-hmm.
which does maybe to everybody not sound like a lot, but it is a whole huge month. Difference.
Whole month.
Yeah, 30 mm-hmm. days. It's 30-day difference, mm-hmm. which is a lot.
Yeah. I mean, when you're planning, especially when you're planning your harvest too, like when you know you need to harvest, big difference between the end of August and then the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
So just, you know, stuff to think like that. Wilbur, any thoughts, questions about this so far?
I would recommend graph paper and pre-planning your garden on graph paper. Oh,
100%,
paper.
Yeah.
Because it's just so much.
I never did any of that, but.
No, but.
It does make it better.
Yes. I'm just, from my own personal experience, I would recommend someone doing that, especially if it's your first time. Pre-plan it.
Because you will tear it down and redo it.
Yeah, or you're going to want to. Or once you see, once you start a garden, do not get discouraged after, like, everything's growing. You're like, oh, okay, it looks good. Everything's nice and spread out and spaced out. And then once it actually grows in the size, you realize everything's going to be super cramped and tight. And
I've done that.
No, we'll happens.
Talk about some plants like that.
Like corn. Corn likes it.
Look, corn likes to touch other corn.
Corn needs to be, and it needs to be close to other corns because wind will just destroy it immediately. Yeah. Any rogue stalk that's out by itself will get destroyed by wind.
Mm-hmm. So there is, yeah, so knowing your plant, and you're going to kill stuff your first year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we did the fish episode, or even the quail and chicken episode, you know. We've done episodes each on each of those things, you know, for the urban homesteading. You're not going to be great at this right off the rip. Nobody ever is.
Right.
I went from, you know, having a little tiny strip of garden to having that 40 by 80 foot garden to growing pumpkins that weighed more than me. And it took time.
Yeah.
You know, it takes time, and just pick what you want. See, plants are a little easier than animals because you can try a whole bunch of things and you may find out you're really good at growing peppers, or your soil type is really more, you know, better for peppers than it is tomatoes.
Yeah.
And you figure that out, or squash, or, you know, a zucchini, or pickles, or which are come from cucumbers. Everybody, I know pickles come from cucumbers, but you can literally buy cucumbers that say pickles on them.
Oh, yeah, they're
pickling cucumbers.
Yes, they're meant to be pickled.
You can pickle any cucumber, but if you pickle, you're going to need a really big jar for some of those cucumbers.
Gosh, well, yeah, if you let them get fully grown.
So next thing I want to talk about is composting. And with the bugs episodes, so composting is kind of weird. What I seen about the easiest compost thing to do is you get 4 pallets. And if the pallet boards have spaces in between them, that's perfect. Like the boards aren't just stacked on top of each other.
Right.
If they are, like if they look like a floor, where
right,
there's no gaps,
yeah.
Remove every other board.
Mm-hmm.
If they have gaps, it's fine.
Right.
And you either put 3 like a U and then just pile it into there. Or I've seen people that do all 4. Or make the front one like a little gate latch.
Yeah.
So you can still close it. But your leaves, your digestible food scraps, that's everything from eggshells, I mean, even pasta, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You mix in there and you just start, you keep mixing up and it'll start gaining heat and decomposing. This also provides habitat for wintering insects like bees.
Nice.
So most people that do this ask that you don't, you know, start getting into your compost pile after the winter. until like the end of April or May.
To let the bugs that are in there.
Let the bugs and the salamanders and the toads and anybody that's using it get out.
Wake up, get out.
Yeah.
Let their babies be born, get out. Yeah.
But by the first week of May, you know, you're not really spreading a whole lot before May.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit in April, but not a lot. There's not a lot of plants that go out in April. You know, really tough stuff because of the frost, depending on where you live.
And organic stuff. All you want to throw in your compost is just all organic material.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
And that includes papers and stuff like that.
Coffee grounds.
Cardboard.
Yeah.
Newspapers,
coffee grounds, the filters.
And you can also do it with, like, worm farms. You can do it with, like, worm bins. Same difference. I mean,
you can. I know people that literally buy red wigglers and just dump them into their compost bins.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps improve. Because you got that worm, you get the worm poop, and then they break down the stuff inside as well. And the worm poop is a little bit more nutrient rich as well. So, worm castings. Sorry, let's use the proper terms. Worm castings.
Yeah, technically not poop.
In case you're going to, you know, your local garden store and you're getting some worm, you can ask them for worm castings.
It feels really weird, like in a good way.
Yeah, you got some in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. I just put it in flower pots.
Nice.
But there's tons of DIY options. Everything from giant plastic totes I've seen used so you can move them around.
Yeah.
If that's really important to you, go to Walmart or any store and get like just a big moving tote, drill a couple little air holes in it and then just move it around the yard.
I guess that's an important part. You need the airflow.
Yeah. You have to have airflow.
Yes. You can't just throw it in an encased, like, I don't know, sealed trash.
No,
it can't be
sealed.
Right.
And if you guys are interested, we can always do a full episode on composting types. This is more of just an easy DIY. So, like, you put all your leaves in your yard in it. Because I'm a big proponent of you do not get rid of the leaves in your yard.
Yeah.
You do not throw them away. You do not let the street sweeper take them. I either pile them. Most time what I do is I pile them and I just run a lawnmower into the pile and I mulch them in the fall.
Yeah.
But if you want, you can just put those in a composter and it'll break down. Then you can put it all over your yard. Or over, you know, in garden beds or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
No, this is all good. All good stuff. I hope you're all engaged at home and wanting to do these things or interested in doing these things. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just skipping around a little bit.
Yeah.
Milling your own flour is another thing I've seen suggested a lot.
Do what?
Milling your own flour. It's called milling when you grind flour.
Oh, okay. Oh, flour as in...
Yeah. Flour, not, like baking flour.
Yes, not flowers, the pretty colors.
Yeah, because flour in the store, I use it still, but it's really bad.
Yeah, and I've seen even more and more things lately. People finding like mold in their flour that don't go bad till 2026 on the label.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the insides, I just seen a woman open up a brand new... She found some in one of them. And she opened up her other ones, like right there live on camera, and they had mold in them.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that too.
It's sad. And I mean, I'm having a harder and harder time trusting our food supply, something that should be trusted, you know, because we got the FDA, but they're going to go down and not just the FDA, but the health departments and stuff that should be regulating these big companies, making sure things like that never happen. But they're going to come down and slam on local businesses and be super hard on them if, you know, there's one thing out of check that, oh, you could affect the whole neighborhood environment.
So the grains are a lot easier to store. When you mill your own flour, humidity is a big issue. That's why they put all the chemicals in the flour that we buy commercially, and that's why they bleach it.
Yep.
Literally bleach it.
Yep.
Bleach.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a nickname. It's bleach.
And that doesn't even... That's not even touching on.
I'm not that scared of bleach as a human, as a person that.
Why don't our grandparents used to put like a drop of bleach in the well to disinfect it?
That's what we did. And when we used to do survival camping and stuff like that.
Huh?
It was bleach or sometimes methyl blue.
Yeah.
Which we stopped doing that.
Does that separate all the everything in the water?
No,
oh, that's something
everything.
Else. Okay.
No, methyl blue is technically a fish. It's a aquatic disease treatment. It kills all fungus and bacteria off, but it looks like food dye.
Mm.
And it will just dye everything.
Mm. Okay.
So when you're drinking it, you're blue.
Yeah. Dabu dye.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you can actually buy tabletop grain mills or countertop grain mills. They're about the size of a coffee maker. and it's a lot easier to store grain seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So what a lot of people do is they buy the quart or larger mason jars. They buy the bag of grain, and they fill four or five of the mason jars with the bag of grain. Use the mason jar vacuum sealer. Not that you don't say you don't have to cook it or nothing like that.
Right.
And it'll be good. Some people say up to 30 years.
So is
in
that
the mason jar vacuum sealer?
The grain version or already ground up?
The grain version.
Okay. So then you take it out and then grind it.
Yeah, you grind it as needed.
Yes. Okay.
So that's why we got away from having flour, ground flour already done mm-hmm. in a lot of smaller settings because of the shelf life.
Yeah.
It is not, so it is stable or much more stable with the commercial product because of all the chemicals in it.
Right.
And they put agents in it to keep it from clumping and,
all things probably good for the human body, right?
Yeah. Horrible. But so this stuff is how you can buy, specifically you buy the grain that you want to make like flour. There are wheat berries, which is the seed heads of wheat or whatever you want to do. Grind it for what you need. So if you want 2 cups, you grind 2 cups. And then you make your bread or whatever.
Right.
The person that was doing some of this research, it's the harvest grain mill by Nutrimill, which they do all kinds of like little KitchenAid equipment stuff. Like I think my coffee grinder's from them.
Okay. Nutrimill?
Yeah. Okay. That's all it is like a little kitchen appliance company.
Right. Yeah.
But the person that was doing some of the research for this article really suggested that one. That's the one they use. I don't have it, so I don't know personally. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But that's at least the one that they were adamant about.
Yeah.
And it's the one that's pictured here. It's pretty, too. It's not... I've seen some that are just big, ugly machines. And
this one
looks pretty on the countertop. You
it
know,
does.
It's bamboo outside. You know, I enjoy things that look kind of like that.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, because when you know turn it on, it's just going to make ungodly noise.
Probably.
It may be slow, though. I don't know.
Do they make, like, manual, like, stone... countertop versions, like a big stone wheel.
I mean, you just go to your yard and get a round rock.
I want a pre-made one so I don't have to chisel it myself.
I'm sure you could buy a millstone somewhere.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I don't know if you could buy a countertop millstone now that I think about it.
Wouldn't be heavy enough, would it?
Uh-uh.
Well, you'd fashion a high tensile spring to it to pull it down and give that extra pulverizing power.
Mm.
We'll mod one. That's what the shack's all about.
Little mod one.
We got modification tools here in the shack.
We're putting friggin' millstones on the counters. They just
let me get my wrenches out. No, wait, sorry, those are my keys.
I was going to say, that really didn't sound like wrenches.
Not at all.
And backyard beekeeping is the last thing we'll get into before we get into the plants.
Yeah.
Personally, a lot of people don't have bees for whatever reason, allergies, and I'm talking about in the urban homesteading groups.
Correct.
And, you know, pollination and stuff like that. Bees are really, really struggling over the last few decades. They've really, I think 85% of all bees in North America are dead is the number I looked up last night.
We seen one in your front yard a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I talked to him.
Yeah. They're like, please stay, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
You live here now.
And I think I'm getting a bee box and putting it by the duck's pen.
All right.
Because that way, I don't know. I just want one.
Yeah.
I just want one. I don't even care about collecting honey personally.
You just want the pollinators.
I want the pollination in mm-hmm. having bees nearby
because
mm-hmm. I have all my apricot and my persimmons and my, what's the other one? Nectarine
mm-hmm.
and all my pawpaws and stuff like that need pollinated because my apricot already bloomed and I'm worried it didn't get pollinated very well.
Mm.
Just because it bloomed because it was 80 degrees and then it went back to being cold.
Yeah.
So I'm just nervous that I'm not going to get any apricots this year.
Happens though.
It happens. It just yeah.
We have a one, two. Well, we had at one point we had 8 fruit trees in our backyard, between apples, plums, peaches, and cherries. But we had a stretch for like 3 years.
No fruit.
The plums never produced. The apple trees
blooming too early.
The apple trees didn't produce for a couple years. The cherry trees only produced once. But the peach trees always went nuts, except one year they both died the same year. Mm. But one of them, only half the tree died.
Yeah.
Which was it was the whole lower half and the whole half the other side, but the top half on one side lived.
I bet you it had rot, internal rot.
Probably, yeah.
Or ants. Ants will do that too.
Yeah, probably. That makes more sense.
Like you've seen them split open and like the huge oak trees we have, and
yeah,
it'll all, the whole middle will be empty.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you know, obviously, do some research if you guys want more information about beekeeping. I actually know a professional beekeeper. I may be able to get him in here to talk about it.
Locally?
Yeah. Lives down the road.
Okay. I know. I
think he only has 5 hives now, but when I was a little kid, he had hundreds.
Okay.
But as he got older.
Around the highway?
Huh?
Is it around the highway?
Yeah.
Okay. I drove by it. I don't know who it is, though.
As he got older, he started selling off a lot of his hives because it just was way too much maintenance.
Yeah.
But he used to do it as a business. And now he has, I think, just 5 hives he keeps up at the house that he's, I think the one hive's like 40 or 50 years old.
Wow.
Obviously not the bees in it aren't that old.
No.
But that hive has been going for a long
time. That's so awesome. We'll start our vulture beehive here soon.
Yeah, meat honey.
Rotting meat honey.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into some complete planting care and charts and stuff, best and worst companions. So, let's see, do you remember who hate each other and who like each other?
No, I remember. I know tomatoes and peppers hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
And natural enemies.
We'll talk about that more in a second, but that is the one that is probably the most, I guess, the biggest mistake first-year gardeners make.
Yeah.
Is they do not like each other. They actually have tomatoes and peppers are from the Americas. They both are. They have compounds specifically designed to kill the other one that they put on their leaves.
So, yeah, you don't want them to grow in near each other.
Now, generally speaking, tomatoes normally win, but sometimes peppers do win.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. There are some plants that repel pests. So, there's herbs and flowers that naturally drive insects like mosquitoes and arachnids like ticks away. There's always attracting beneficial insects like bees, ladybugs, parasitic wasps, and I just forgot the last one. But, yeah. There are parasitic wasps.
Parasitic.
Yeah. What do you...
I don't know. You're adding like...
Parasitic.
Statistic?
Mm-hmm.
Parasitic.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, because they lay their eggs on something that then parasizes.
Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this? A movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, whatever. We know what we're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about.
Maybe.
Anyways, there's also ones you can use to improve soil. So there are plenty of nitrogen fixers that help enrich soil. So if you're in the urban setting and you have very poor soil content, your first year or two, you may want to think about nitrogen and carbon fixers.
How would you test your soil to know?
You can pay to send it in. Most counties have a soil and water district, and you just basically, you either go pick up a vial from them or that you can call them and they'll mail you one and then you mail it back.
Okay. Depending
on your county. And it's cheap.
Yeah.
It's a couple bucks.
Is there an at-home test, though? You can.
Yeah, but the machine's going to be a lot more than it is just to have the soil and water do it.
All right.
And I like our county soil and water. I like our neighbor county soil and water.
I never dealt with them.
They're fine.
Okay.
But yeah, it's normally like $3 a test or $2 a test, maybe.
Oh, rip off.
It's more of a service for farmers because some farmers will do 100 or 300 or 1,000 tests for a field because they want to see sporadic spots in the field that are missing stuff. But they do, at least our district does, like if you just want to do your garden, they'll do the two.
Yeah.
And it's normally, I think, it's a little bit of a turnaround. It's normally like 3 weeks to maybe a month.
Mm.
And it depends on what time of year you do, obviously, because like if you're behind Farmer John that just sent 4,000 samples.
Yeah, you're going to be waiting a minute.
Yeah.
Not Farmer John.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of acreage he owns.
So plants harm each other by... So here's a thing plants do. Oh, no, I did miss one more. Creating a healthier microclimate. So ground... So this is for the good stuff. Ground cover can retain moisture and suppress weeds.
So mulching.
That, or I'm talking more about plants that grow along the ground underneath the rest of them.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Everything from a whitefoot, which is a little flower. I like clover. That's what I'm putting in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for grass.
Yeah.
But there are native grasses that are better.
Yeah.
Than some of the European grasses
that we
for
are
systems.
That's in 90% of America.
There's some that it's not a true moss, but I think they call them like pink posy moss or something like that, which is actually a complex flower plant that grows like on the ground in big chunks.
I know what you're talking about.
But they call it a moss. It's not a moss.
Right.
So how do, and then providing shade or structure, tall plants protect and support other plants. Like we talked about the three sisters or, for example, blueberries do not like being in the sun.
Okay.
So you want another plant that's tall to put your blueberries under that.
Hmm.
They do not like direct sunlight. They burn up.
Gotcha.
And you have plants like raspberries and blackberries that just don't care.
Oh, yeah.
They're like potatoes.
They want it.
Where is the F in soil?
Yeah.
And you ever seen that meme?
Uh-uh.
So it's like high dollar flowers. You know, the pH in the soil's off by 0.02 pH.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And it's a potato grown out of a bag, growing up a wall. Like
looking for soil.
Where's the F in soil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some things are just tougher than others.
You know, they become toxic, right? Potatoes?
Yeah.
They do that.
Mm-hmm.
People still eat them. They don't understand. Well, people don't know. It doesn't say anything on the bag.
Oh, okay.
How would you know if you didn't know?
What, when they're rooting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, how do plants hurt each other? They attract the same pest. So some plants will actually put out pheromones or other attractants to attract their competition's pest.
Wow, okay.
Which leads to infestations on those plants.
Right.
Spreading diseases. Fungal problems and viruses can jump between bad neighbors.
Hmm.
So they may have a beneficial fungal or bacterial component to them that purposely harms their competitors.
Right.
Competing for nutrients. Heavy feeders can starve plants next to them. Parasitizing, or however you, now I can't say it right. Being a parasite, some plants will actually tap into the stems of other plants and drink them.
Yeah.
And then disturbing root systems in growing conditions. Some plants just don't play nice. They're fighting a whole secret war underground with their, like, choking each other out.
Mm.
You don't get to see.
Well, plants are wild.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, if you want to grow asparagus, who do you think are good companions and who do you think are bad companions?
Gosh, I have no idea. I think asparagus is gross.
I don't like it. Lisa and then others like it.
Mm.
But it grows amazing. You can cut it 2 to 3 times a day when it grows, and it grows here wild.
That's nuts.
Yeah, my grandma and I used to go to the ditches and cut it right now in like alger and stuff.
Mm.
Just grows in any watery ditches.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Oh, asparagus likes basil, comfrey, marigolds, parsley, and tomatoes. Those are all who it gets along with. It does not like beets, garlic, onions, or potatoes.
So rooting plants.
Yeah. How about basil? Do you like basil?
Oh, yeah.
So who do you think basil likes?
Tomato plants.
Yes.
It's
funny. It really likes most of the plants that...
you'd eat it with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tomatoes,
Oregano. Chives.
Yep. Yeah. Other peppers. Herbs. Peppers.
Lettuce, and which you know, and then marigolds.
Marigolds. What about mozzarella plants?
They really hate cucumbers and rue.
Rue?
Mm-hmm.
It's rue.
It's spice, like a herb plant.
Hmm.
R-U-E.
Yeah, I don't know that for some reason.
I don't think we have many people that actually mess with it around here.
Yeah, it does not sound familiar at all.
Beets. Do you like beets?
Here's how I enjoy beets. No, I typically no.
With pickled eggs?
Maybe that's one of the ways. I still won't eat the beet in there.
No, but I use them to pickle eggs.
Pickle eggs. I like that. I do like that flavor, but I like how I enjoy beets the best is juicing them. And
I like beet juice.
I don't like straight beet juice, but you mix it with like apple juice.
Yeah.
Then yeah, it's like it's very good.
Beets are fine.
They're okay.
I've never cared for them, but that's not ever been one of the things I'm like, oh, get it away from me.
Or it's never been something I'm like, ooh, give me more of that.
No, I'm never excited to see beets.
No.
But I'm never like,
My mom and dad, they really like beets.
They're fine.
Dad will he loves beets. He grows them in his garden.
I just got root soup mixes and it's in there.
We got what?
Root soup mixes.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. Borscht. It's like I think that's a Ukrainian, they're like national food or their national meal or whatever.
All right, who do beets like?
Dre.
B- bush beans, catnip, garlic, lettuce, and onions.
Okay.
They hate mustard greens and pole beans.
All right, next.
Bush beans.
Okay.
They love carrots, celery, corn, cucumbers, lettuce, radishes, savory, Swiss chard, and strawberries.
What do they hate?
Chives, French marigolds, garlic, leeks, onions, peppers, sunflowers, and tomatoes.
Okay, good to know. So beans and tomatoes, don't put them by each other.
Yeah, they don't like each other. Carrots.
Probably going to not like other rooting vegetables, would be my guess. But they probably like, oh gosh, I mean, I don't know what plants. This is something I don't know.
Carrots like chives, leeks, lettuce, onions, parsley, rosemary, and sage.
Oh, well, onions.
Carrots hate bush beans, celery, cilantro, dill, parsnips, pole beans, and tomatoes.
Well, I was pretty much wrong on my guess.
Exactly wrong.
Yep.
Chives like carrots, parsley, and tomatoes, and they hate asparagus, beans, peas, and strawberries. And if you've noticed, just because one plant hates it doesn't mean the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
Hates it.
Sometimes they're on one list, but not the other.
It only goes one way.
Yeah. Some of the interactions. Yeah. But when you look at like stuff like peppers and tomatoes, they both want to kill each other.
Yeah.
Corn. Here's one I didn't know. Kind of. Who do you think corn likes?
Beans.
Yeah. Pole beans specifically is listed.
Squash.
Yes.
I don't know.
Melons.
Ah, yeah.
Parsley and dill.
Okay.
And they hate broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, celery, eggplants, and tomatoes.
Huh. No cucumbers on either side. Mm-mm.
Cucumbers is next. Cucumbers loves bush beans, corn, dill, lettuce, nasturtium.
I don't know.
I don't know what that one is. Onions. And they hate melons, pole beans, potatoes, pumpkins, sage, and rosemary.
Okay.
French marigolds, which I'm going to get some more of. Have you ever eaten them?
No.
So I've seen a marigold get stuck in somebody's like gums one time on like TikTok, and I never ate them again.
What is exactly a marigold?
They're flowers.
Okay,
You eat the flower head.
The little yellow flowers, right?
Yeah, they're multicolored. So it depends.
Okay.
You can get marigolds that are all kinds of colors.
Okay.
I think traditionally wild marigolds are yellow.
Okay.
Like a goldy yellow. Like marigold.
That would explain the name.
But now I know, like, my grandma always had, like, fire marigolds, which were red and yellow and, like, almost black.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them in, like, all of the colors. You know, they're pretty popular in plants. They like carrots, melons, peppers, and tomatoes, and they hate bush beans, peas, and pole beans. They just hate anything that's going to touch them, like, grab on them.
Right, so
I guess, no, they like melons. Do you like growing garlic?
I've never tried it. I always wanted to.
I failed at it every time I've tried it. That's one plant I've never been able to nail very well.
Where do you fail at?
The second stage.
Which is?
Like when it heads and then you replant those.
See, I don't know about this. You gotta replant it?
Yeah, because, okay, so the little sprouts.
Yeah.
They're not going to become a big clove of garlic.
Okay.
They produce a flower that then seeds, and those, you plant those and they become big heads of garlic.
Okay.
There's like wandering garlic too. It's, yeah.
Wild garlic and stuff we have around us.
Not the same.
Yeah. All right. Fine.
But it isn't. It isn't the same. Because wild onions aren't onions.
Fine. What are they?
I think they're in the general family, but they just have a similar taste.
They're good.
They're fine. They're the only one I can eat.
Oh, really?
I've told you that before.
Start collecting them. We got a lot around our house.
I don't enjoy them. They're too spicy for me, for generally.
Yeah.
But we used to chew them as kids.
Maybe I'll put some in soup for you.
There you go. Garlic loves broccoli, cauliflower, lettuce, strawberries, and tomatoes.
Because
it likes to be under a lot of tall plants.
Mm-hmm.
It hates asparagus, bush beans, pole beans, and peas.
You ever grown broccoli?
No.
Dad grew it one year.
It's a made-up plant.
Oh, it's not bad, though. I prefer broccoli.
It's broccoli. What is it? Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and another plant are all the same plant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I grew Brussels sprouts last year. Those look like dinosaur plants. Mm-hmm. They're weird.
That's all the same plant that's been genetically modified.
Broccoli, Dad grew it one year, and I'd never seen broccoli flower.
Mm-hmm.
And but we had
to go too far.
Yeah, because we went on vacation. We went to Canada. This back when we were kids. But I remember going out to the garden, and you could see the broccoli was there. It was probably ready before we left. But this is the first year he had ever grown it too.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't know. He's like, oh, well, you know, let's not get it now. When we get back, we'll pick it all. Well, by the time we got back, I didn't know the little florets on the end of broccoli. All those turn into little flowers. Mm-hmm. They're all tiny little flowers, which they're actually really pretty when they come out and bloom. But yeah, I was shocked. I'm like, oh, like what? It's a flower. It was neat.
Too late.
Yeah, it was way too late.
Lettuce likes carrots, cucumbers, dill, garlic, onions, spinach, strawberries, and tomatoes, and it hates parsley.
Mm.
Melons love corn, marigolds, and nastrum, or however you say it. And they hate cabbage, cucumbers, kale, potatoes, and squash.
Hmm. So melons like corn, huh?
Hmm.
Okay, I'm going to remember that.
Onions hate carrots, lettuce, radishes, Swiss char, and tomatoes. Oh, no, sorry, they like those. Onions like carrots, lettuce, radishes, Swiss char, and tomatoes.
Okay.
They hate asparagus and beans.
Beans.
Oregano likes barley and pepper, or not barley, basil and pepper.
Mm.
They don't really have anything they really fight against oregano. It may be overcrowded, but there's nothing really has chemical defenses to, like, murder it. Peppers, basil, carrots, oregano, rosemary, and Swiss char are liked. Beans, broccoli, cauliflower, and kale are dislikes. Same peppers, same.
I get it.
Pole beans like corn, radishes, and squash, and they hate broccoli, cauliflower, chives, French marigolds, garlic, kale, leeks, onions, peppers, sunflowers, and tomatoes. Are you having a stroke over there?
Yeah.
Potatoes like bush beans, catnip, cilantro, horseradish, marigolds, and they hate asparagus, carrots, cucumbers, eggplants, peppers, pumpkins, squash, sunflowers, tomatoes. So I'm skipping around a lot now. Strawberries. This is one that come back every year. I enjoy them. Bush beans, they like. They like garlic. They like onions. They like lettuce. And they like spinach. And they like thyme. They hate broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, peppers, pole beans, and tomatoes.
Mm.
Sunflowers don't really have any likes. They have a lot of hates.
A lot of haters.
Yeah. They hate beans, cabbage, kale, peas, and potatoes.
So pretty much just grow them by themselves on the end of your garden.
Mm-hmm. Or a fence row or whatever.
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes like bush beans, dill, marigolds, thyme, and narrow. They hate corn, potatoes, pumpkins, squash, sunflowers, and tomatoes. Which sweet potatoes and potatoes you got to be careful with.
Okay.
The leaves and the vines and everything like that on both of them are toxic.
Hmm.
So if you have kids or something like that, potatoes have killed kids.
Oh, that's crazy.
And the little seeds they get are really toxic.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Potatoes are kind of a scary plant if you don't know what you're doing.
And not tubular.
What? They're tubers.
They're tubers. Yeah, I said they're not tubular.
Mm.
But you did get my joke. My reference.
What reference?
That potatoes are tubers. Totally tubers.
Yeah, so that's kind of the base of the very basic of who likes who and stuff. So those are thoughts to keep in when you start planning your garden is, you know, who likes who? What do I want to grow? If I want to grow peppers and tomatoes, how far apart do they have to be?
Yeah.
Do I have to put something in the middle of them? Can I find something that they both like? So a lot of those on that list were actually nutrient sumps. So they take too much of the same nutrient.
Mm, that's why they don't like each other.
Yeah, so one's going to starve the other one out. Whoever, yeah. So somebody's going to win there.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, companion planting is important. It's not a end-all, be-all, though. Like, you can still plant these things beside each other. You're just going to have a little bit more difficulty. This guide will just help you make things a little bit easier, but it's all trial and error. We just encourage you to get out there and get some plants in the ground this year and water them and watch them grow and learn for next time, learn for next year. It's just important to grow your own food, source your own food, because there's going to come a certain point where, in my opinion, you're either going to just be eating chemically filled garbage, or you're going to eat something you grew yourself. Because I feel like, especially when it comes to major supermarket stuff, it's already happening. All the food, even the fresh, quote-unquote fresh fruits and veggies in there, they're all loaded with chemicals. They're all grown commercially with chemicals. They have exposure to something that's just going to make your body not healthy. So let's just eliminate that. Let's quit giving power to people that offer solutions to those things, even though they're the ones causing the problems to begin with. Stop giving them power. Let's stop buying into this system.
So I just looked up before we leave or whatever. Broccoli is the same exact plant as kale, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts.
Wow. They're just modified?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and I think broccoli is only like a 50-year-old plant or something like that.
Oh, that's wild. I like broccolini. It's like a thinner version, less, doesn't have that green, with all those, Brussels sprouts, broccoli.
How do you spell broccolini?
It's basically the same thing. It just has a broccoli knee, like an N-I on the end. Broccolini.
Oh, I guess I'm going to look up when it's invented first.
Oh, okay. All those, they all have that green, even asparagus has a little bit that, just that flavor.
So I guess
broccoli is about the only thing I like to eat raw out of
broccoli, those. The broccolis okeus, which is the root family of all those plants that I mentioned earlier, started in the 6th century BCE.
Okay.
Broccoli that we know of now came in the 50s.
Wow, that's crazy.
18th century in Europe. Or the broccolini, or like old style broccoli, but the new, the big stuff we know now is broccoli.
Wow.
It is and isn't a GMO. They're like, because apparently there's a lot of people talking about that. It is a genetically modified organism by the true definition, because it was selectively bred. Its DNA was not messed with to turn it into broccoli.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There was no artificial stuff. It was selectively bred.
Mm-hmm.
And the people don't get that GMO means both.
Right, yeah. Because yeah, GMO can be a cloudy term,
but cabbage is the same thing as well.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, and kale are all the same plant.
Hmm. And there's certain types of kale I prefer over the others. Cabbage I like over others.
The only kale I've ever liked is in the chicken gnocchi soup. And that's because it's just covered in enough.
Oh, you mean kale in general?
Kale in general.
Yes, gotcha. So there's like two different kinds of kale that I can distinctly recognize. And the normal stuff, you'd see, you buy it like in a bag where it's already baby kale and stuff. It's like that thin, you know, and it's green. That's not the kind I like. The kind I like is like, I always called it dinosaur kale because it looks like a gross and drastic, like Land Before Time.
Isn't that the name of it?
I think that's the... It's not the official name at all. That's just the, what's the word? The preferred nomenclature. Yeah, the colloquial name. Is that right? I don't think that's right, but.
Lacatino kale.
I always called it dinosaur.
But it is also known as dinosaur kale. It's a variety of kale characterized by its long, dark green, and slightly bumpy leaves. And
yes.
Often compared to the appearance of dinosaur skin.
So I like putting that in soup. That is the elite kale to put in soup.
So here it is a slightly sweeter and a much more mild taste compared to most other kale varieties.
Yep.
With a slight hint of nuttiness. Favorite place to, how to use it, most of it. People highly suggest soups, stir fries, and roast.
Yep. Oh, it's fantastic. And it's like heartier too. Like it looks like it's
closer to being wild.
Yeah. Oh, it's that kind is hands down. Like it's not even the same as the other stuff. Like that stuff's good. That's the good stuff. That's what you want to go for when it comes to kale. And I've made kale chips before. You know, like that was like a craze for a minute.
I actually like kale chips.
If you make it with that kale, 100 times better. Yeah. I've made it at a bowling alley. Gonna change the. Fine. I made it at a bowling alley, and they let me use their ovens. They're just, you know, nice people. But yeah, all you do is you cut it up into like little, you know, pieces, basically your chip sized pieces, toss it in a little bit of, I used olive oil and I used red pepper flakes and that's it. And salt, obviously, salt and pepper or garlic, you know, however you want to season it. But that's it. Spread it out over a sheet, throw it in an oven for just till they get crispy. And it happens kind of fast. And that's it. And it's good. It's good.
I'd be excited to try it.
Yeah. It's really good. And it was really super simple. He's tossing oil and seasonings and that's it. Yeah, very good. Kale chips. But it has to be the dinosaur kale.
So do you think the government wants us to grow our own plants?
No, not at all. That's probably why, I mean, they would do anything to thwart you from doing anything that would provide your own independence for yourself. They want you to rely on them. They want to be your mother, your father, your parents. They want to take care of you. They want you to rely on them, but you can't. You got to rely on yourself. They say there's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the lethal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies are all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.